Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
The Mandy Connell Show is sponsored by Bell and Pollock Accident and Injury Lawyers.
Now, it's Mandy Connell on KOA News Radio, the voice of Colorado.
Actually, it's Mike Rosen. Mandy will be back tomorrow. Normally, filling in for Mandy, I'd do the whole three-hour show from 12 to 3. But today is going to be a short show because we've got a Rockies afternoon game coming up, and our coverage here on KOA News Radio, Rockies Radio, will begin right around 1 o'clock or so, and then the first pitch will be, I think, at 1:30 today. And since we're talking about baseball, KOA, of course, is the official station of All-Star Week. You can stay with us for live coverage of the Home Run Derby and the All-Star Game at Coors Field. To celebrate, we want to send you to the game and more. Here's your chance to win the ultimate All-Star ticket package, a pair of tickets to the All-Star Game, the Home Run Derby, All-Star Sunday, and the next Rockies home game, that is the one that would follow the All-Star Game, at Coors Field. That's the Dodgers and Rockies on July 16th. In order to have your shot at winning, just go to KOANewsRadio.com, click on the contest link, and enter today's keyword. That keyword changes every day, and today's keyword is strike. Be sure to listen tomorrow for another winning keyword only on KOA News Radio. And talking about the Rockies, how about Germán Márquez yesterday? Went into the ninth inning with a no-hitter. Unfortunately, the first batter in the ninth inning, single. It was a solid single. Nobody could have made a spectacular catch on it. And then, ironically, the very next pitch he threw was a ground ball double play, and a third out came shortly thereafter. But after a tough start this year, you remember early on in the season, he just couldn't command his fastball. He's got it all nailed down now. His last several starts have been just fabulous. And who knows? Maybe he'll pitch a no-hitter this season. Just a week or so ago, he pitched six innings of a perfect game. No hits. Didn't get the conclusion that time either. But anyway, Rockies, you know, they're not going to be in the postseason this year. It would take a miracle, another 30-game winning streak to do that, or a 21-game winning streak like we had several years ago. But they're bringing along some talent. For example, Daza, who's now our regular center fielder, he's batting over 300. Tapia is right around 300, and we're developing some talent that wouldn't have been developed in a year when there weren't any vacancies for younger players to get in the game. So as the Brooklyn Dodger fans used to say for decades, wait till next year. Well, maybe next year will be a better one. All right, 303-713-8585, our telephone number. As I said, this is going to be a short show today. I'm going to be finished at 55 minutes after, 25 minutes after this hour. So let me just throw this in. If you want to call to drop in at any time, please do. 303-713-8585, our telephone number. Let's talk about the crisis at the border. Now, of course, the Biden administration doesn't want to call it a crisis, and the liberal media doesn't want to call it a crisis, but it's a crisis at the border. And it's all Joe Biden's fault. And I'm not saying that just because I'm a Republican and I didn't vote for Joe Biden. It's all his fault. Donald Trump, whatever you may think of him, was very successful in working out a deal with Mexico to keep migrants who couldn't legally come into the country on the other side of the border. But Biden forsook all of that intentionally. He stopped construction of the border wall, and he made it very clear that it's open season. Come to the United States. We'll take good care of you. And, you know, there's some kind of a process to stay here legally, but don't worry about that. And if you don't show up for your appearance date, as is the case with so many people who are detained and then released into the country, well, these are future Democrat voters who will forever be grateful for the welcome mat that they got, even when they came across the border illegally. I am not anti-immigrant. Not anti-immigrant. I'm not anti-Latino. I am anti-illegal immigration. I'm in favor of immigration. Some degree of immigration. But limited. And limited by this country and its elected representatives. The instant reaction of people on the left is to start using pejorative terms. If you're anti-illegal immigration, and they take a shortcut and just say you're anti-immigrant, that's not the case. My opposition to illegal immigration is based on national sovereignty. We're an independent country. We decide who can come into this country legally, as does every other country on earth. It's about border security, and it's about the economic burden that a great number of immigrants can impose on American taxpayers. That has certainly been the case for the last several decades. Now, there's an organization called the Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition. This is an activist group. They're perfectly entitled to do what they do. I certainly wouldn't want to cancel them or shut them up, but I am in favor of accuracy. They call themselves the Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition. In fact, it's the Colorado Illegal Immigrant Rights Coalition. That's their agenda. That's their crusade. And since the principal venue of illegal immigration into this country, some people might swim ashore, having swum all the way from China, let's say, and come ashore in California, but that's not a major port of entry for illegal immigration. It's our border with Mexico. And the vast, vast, vast majority of people who cross that border to come into the country illegally happen to be Latino. All right. Doesn't make me anti-Latino. I'm just observing a fact that's indisputable. So I got a press release last week from the Colorado Immigrant Rights Coalition. And since I control my own wording and my own lexicon, when I refer to this group, I'll refer to it more accurately as the Colorado Illegal Immigrant Rights Coalition. So they were excited and celebrating Governor Polis's signing into law four pro-immigrant bills. Oh, wait, I don't want to be accurate. Four pro-illegal immigrant bills. One of them was a bill that would create an illegal immigrant legal defense fund. That is, people who are in this country illegally, or maybe people who are in this country illegally, will now be able to get free legal services from taxpayers in Colorado so that they can have a better likelihood of success during their immigration proceedings. That's very good for the illegal immigrants, no doubt about it. One of the bills he signed would protect personal identifying information kept by the state. That is, state agencies would be prohibited from disclosing personal identifying information for the purpose of immigration enforcement, unless required by a court-issued subpoena. Another one would create the Colorado Office of New Americans. A Colorado Office of New Americans would create a much-needed structure for state agencies to work collaboratively to promote the successful economic, social, linguistic, and cultural integration of immigrants in Colorado. Talk about an open-ended mission. How successful this would be, what they would do, and what it'll cost, who knows. Finally, another bill, Senate Bill 199, that would remove barriers to certain public opportunities. What does that mean? It means that lawful presence will no longer be a requirement for some state and local public benefits. Oh, I see. So this means that people in the country illegally would have opportunities, in other words, money, various benefit programs that would normally be restricted to American citizens, to people in this country legally, would now be made available to people in this country illegally who violated our laws by crossing our border without our permission. Well, that's the mission of the Colorado Illegal Immigrant Rights Coalition, and they've been very successful in this state with a Democrat majority in both houses of the legislature, a Democrat governor, and a Democrat in every single statewide office. Getting back to the crisis at the border, and after dodging this for 90 days, Vice President Kamala Harris finally went to the border, so to speak. However, she went to the wrong area of the border. When asked what the situation was regarding this record flow of illegal migrants, she said, quote, "We've made progress." Where did she go? She went to El Paso, Texas. Well, that's not where the real problem is. The real problem is in the Rio Grande Valley. She and her handlers didn't want pictures of people waiting, walking, and jumping fences to get into the U.S. with her there. Harris found a safe place where she talked with Border Control officers who have been overwhelmed by migrants in places where she was not. And she didn't want to go to the places where the Border Control people are being overwhelmed. And, of course, predictably, she blamed the Trump administration for causing the problem, when, in fact, Trump was the one who had mitigated this problem significantly. By the way, Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott said the real problem along the border is not in El Paso. It's in areas not protected by the unfinished border wall. And Abbott said that Harris would fail in her mission if she refuses to speak to residents of the Del Rio sector whose homes and ranches are being overrun by gangs and smugglers. You might remember when Harris was in Guatemala, I think, and she said, "Do not come, do not come." Well, in the context of everything else that we're doing that makes it very inviting for people to come illegally, I think it was... I don't want to take credit for the... Oh, yeah, Cal Thomas had a piece just the other day that I read. And he said her speech in which she said, "Do not come, do not come," had about as much credibility as Bill Clinton's denial of sex with Monica Lewinsky. I didn't have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. So let's talk about more specifically, even the New York Times, probably with some reluctance and not on its editorial page, but in a news story, is reporting on what's going wrong. More than 12,500 Ecuadorians were encountered in March, up from 3,568 in January. The New York Times' Miriam Jordan reported recently. Nearly 4,000 Brazilians, more than 3,500 Venezuelans were intercepted, up from just 300 and 284, respectively, in January. So you can see the increase. And then there are the migrants coming from India and Asia, and they're coming through the southern border, of course, because that's the way to get into the country. Some reported taking buses in their hometowns to a big city like Mumbai, where they boarded planes to Dubai and then connected through Moscow, Paris, and Madrid, finally flying to Mexico City. This is a New York Times reporter, Miriam Jordan, who's writing this. From there, they embarked on the two-day bus ride to reach the Mexico-U.S. border. Aid workers report seeing migrants from everywhere, Arabic, Haitian, Creole, Hindi, and Portuguese. Many of them are encountering the United States through wide openings in the border wall near Yuma, Arizona, sparing them from the risky routes through some desert regions. Why are they coming? Because they've heard that this moment presents a huge opportunity to enter the U.S. illegally without fear of being sent home. Miriam Jordan, again, this reporter from the New York Times, wrote, "While most of the migrants do not necessarily understand the intricacies of U.S. border policy, many said in interviews that they perceived a limited time offer to enter the U.S. Friends and family members already in the country, along with smugglers eager to cash in, have assured them they'll not be turned away, and this is proving to be true. What we're hearing back home is that the new president is facilitating entry, and there's a demand for labor," said Rodrigo Neto, who came from Brazil. "And so they are crossing the border in record numbers. More than 178,000 known cases in April, on top of 172,000 in March. And there may be even more when the final count is in for June. The situation is absolutely, completely, 100% Biden's fault." This is Byron York now talking in the Washington Examiner. Yes, it's what many Democrats wanted. It's what many activists and commentators wanted. For that matter, it's what the New York Times editorial board wanted. But the fact is, it would not happen without the president, in this case, President Biden, making it happen. The president could order border officials under his authority to enforce the law and turn away those who have no legal right to enter the U.S. other than at a port of entry. When anyone flies into the U.S. from abroad, landing at, say, Atlanta or Chicago O'Hare or LAX airports, the government demands that people present documents showing that they have a legal right to enter the country. Would anyone advocate scrapping that system and letting anyone and everyone enter with or without documents? Of course not. Well, Mexico is just a port of entry. Why should it be different? The U.S., which, like other countries, has developed elaborate procedures to control who is able to enter and leave the country at its airports and other ports, has thrown the whole system away at the border, starting with the presidential campaign and continuing through his time in the White House. President Biden has sent the message that virtually anyone can enter the U.S. and be allowed to stay. The crisis at the border is the result of this. Now, talking about Biden's trip to Guatemala and Mexico, of course, that was for photo ops. She was able to play the stateswoman and could be seen shaking hands with government leaders on the world stage. She could, at the same time, avoid going to the place where the real problem is, and we were talking about that earlier at the Del Rio sector. But she didn't want to be standing at a place where the photos and the video coverage would remind people of an earlier period when the left was outraged about the conditions when Donald Trump was president. They're not so outraged now, covering for Joe Biden. She doesn't want to be photographed and appear on primetime television standing next to that actual crisis. Between Guatemala and Mexico, that's on her trip, first in Guatemala, then to Mexico. She was being interviewed by NBC's Lester Holt. He's the anchor for the evening news. And Lester Holt, by the way, is certainly no conservative. Anyway, he interviewed Harris and asked her why she hadn't been to the border. This is before her most recent trip. And she said, "We've been to the border. We've been to the border." To which, I give him credit, Lester Holt responded, "No, you haven't been to the border." Because she hadn't been at that time, certainly not the Mexican border with the United States. Confronted with that, Harris blathered on about not having been to Europe either. Yes, so? And she laughed in that weird way she has when she's covering something up. You remember Hillary Clinton's famous cackle? All right, that's not exactly Kamala Harris's, but it's that dismissive giggle. And I was exposed to this for so many years doing talk radio. People on the left, when I have them in a debating situation and they have no rebuttal to something I've said, then they use that dismissive laugh as if they're dismissing you. You said something really silly. Oh, really? Why? What's your response? No, they just use the laugh. Kamala Harris uses a tactic that's similar to that. So after Lester Holt had nailed her, She said, "I don't understand the point that you're making." I think the point was pretty obvious. She was lying. She understands. The point is she doesn't want to get near to what the administration only recently admitted was a problem and certainly has no intention of taking steps to fix because it satisfies their longer-term political agenda. And, of course, it gives them an opportunity to blame Trump for everything that's happening at the border now, when that couldn't be more inaccurate since he had stemmed the flow. All right, that wraps it for me today. We've got Rockies baseball coming up, starting with our pregame show. Let's see the Rockies launch another winning streak. I'll be back filling in for Mandy on July 9th.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.